This is Dr. Herb Byerly speaking, Dean of the University of Healing. Today we're going to discuss that beautiful topic, purity. To the pure, all is pure. This is an eternal statement, one which we have listened to and we have heard for many, many centuries. To the pure, all is pure. And the word comes back to us oftentimes that, sure, it's easy for the pure to be pure, but how about those who are revealing that purity within themselves? How about the rest of the world? How about you and I? How easy is it for us to be pure? To be pure in our thought, to be pure in our deed, to be pure in our word. How easy is that for us? Well, actually, it's easier than we sometimes give it credit for. For to be pure, to the pure, or even not expressing the purity today, to be pure merely means that we set about being that way. Let's take an illustration once. If a person were adding 2 and 2 and coming up with 4, the mathematicians would say, that's just fine. That's the way it should be. But if that person were adding up 2 and 2 and coming up with 5 or 6 or 3 or any other number, all who are at all acquainted with mathematics would say, that is incorrect. That is an improper answer. Now, we wouldn't call it an impure answer, but really, it is an impure answer. An answer that does not smack of its eternal reality, of what it really is. So when we really want to get down to what purity is being that which we are. 2 plus 2 is 4. Now, there might be some rather eccentric or expressive or mathematicians who are into some other field of mathematics who would say that that's not true. We can prove that other factors are true about it. But we're not into that esoteric aspect of it. We're into the simplicity of what it really means, the simplicity of life. For if we want to get into the obtuse and the abstract and get into that which is beyond the normal conjecture that we live, well, it's very true. We will find that some of the things that we have thought to be true are not. But in our day-to-day existence, which is what you and I are here on this planet Earth to experience, our day-to-day existence teaches us that there is a simplicity to life. There is a beauty to life. There is that which is very, very knowledgeable, very reasonable, very understandable. And when we deal with all things from that point of view, then it is simple indeed. So now, if a person had impure thoughts, how would you think of an impure thought? Well, a thought that is not true. Thought that is not relevant, a thought that is not uplifting, supportive, a thought that is not the reality of all. To the pure, all is pure. Pure is usually described by what is not. But perhaps the words also used of fresh and green are quite descriptive, new. Think of that once. Think of a yearling, a little calf just recently born. You think of it as being such a pure young thing. A child we think of as being pure. A flower that is coming out of the ground, expressing the beauty and the harmony of its form and of its fragrance. We call that pure. What is it then that speaks purity to us? It is a freshness, a newness, a greenness. Too often our thoughts have become jaded by the world in which we have allowed ourselves to live. The world which says tooth for tooth, eye for eye. The world which says to us that it's a dog-eat-dog situation. Well, the pure look beyond that. The innocence of a child or of one who is naive to those things would look upon that experience and say to themselves, I don't understand what is bothering you or what the problem is. I cannot conceive of a problem being there. Why, it looks so beautiful. And truly it does look beautiful. For in the eyes of a pure one, all is beautiful. In the eyes of love, all is beautiful and clean and right. In the eyes of joy, all is harmony and all is good. The word naive is oftentimes used, the incredulity that something could be other than pure. You know, you look at a child, and you say to that child, what would you like? And the child looks up in all innocence, knowing or not knowing that you are the source of great wealth, the channel of great wealth for that child if it should desire so. And the child says, I just want to be with you. I just want to be where you are. I just want to go where you go. I love you. Now, they really mean it. They're not just saying that as a subterfuge to accomplish their good. They really mean it. They really mean they just want to be where you are. Because they feel love in your presence. They feel a joy and a oneness in your presence. You might call that a naivete. That they don't really know the kind of person that you really are, that you kick dogs and that you take candy from children and things like that. No, and they never will know because that's not in their consciousness. In their consciousness, they see you as they are. Pure, beautiful, loving, generous, wise, and all in all. If we would experience purity in our life, we should look at the whole world as being pure. From a pure point of view, and we will attract to ourselves the total purity that the universe is. There are many people in this world who feel that the universe is not too neat. That there are wars and pestilence and all those things. And you know, to those people, they experience that. To those people, they draw those things into their world. They draw those experiences into their experience. And that is just what they encounter. But as each of us live in the awareness of who and what we are, we're God, we will see all as ourselves. For we now see all as we are anyhow. Everything we look upon in the world about us reflects back to us exactly what we believe about it. I've known a number of people who have been able to look out upon the world, who've been able to look out upon circumstances, and who see the world and the circumstances that they look out upon as quite beautiful. Yet, from a more mundane point of view, it might be visualized that the world that they're looking out upon really is not that which they're seeing. The world they're looking out upon is really a very bad and unhappy and treacherous world. But to them, wherever they go, they see beauty. Take, for instance, this very simple and very true experience. All the world loves a lover, and in the eyes of a lover, the beloved is pure and beautiful and magnificent. In the eyes of the beloved, they can only see good. This is very true. In the eyes of the beloved, they can only see that which they desire to see there. And that is the purity of their being, the magnificence of their soul. They say, love is blind. Yes, love is blind to all that is unlike itself. And for us to be pure, we too must be blind to all that is unlike the reality that we are, the God that we are, the magnificence that we are. For we are God. We are magnificent. We are absolutely magnificent right now. When you stop and realize that to the pure all is pure, that this statement is so important and so paramount in our thinking, that our world, in an instant, can completely change its complexion from what it was but a moment before. We've used the illustration oftentimes where a person is feeling down and having all sorts of problems, and all of a sudden the doorbell rings. Why it should be all of a sudden, someone just came up and rang the doorbell. And you answer the door, and the person says, you have just won the Irish sweepstakes. Or you've just won $1 million. Or you've just won something, anything. Even if it is a year's supply of dog food. All of a sudden, and there it is all of a sudden, the consciousness that you had but a moment before is forgotten. And you say, me? I never win anything. Me? How fantastic. How wonderful. Oh, golly. I guess people like me really do win prizes like that. And your feeling of being sorry for yourself, the feeling of being down and being in the dregs that just a moment before has completely changed. Now, what changed it? Did the whole world that was about you change? Did all of the circumstances that you had been experiencing before cease to exist as negative experiences in your life? Not on the tintype. For what had changed was your attitude. Your attitude about yourself and your world, our attitude about our total being. When it changes, our world changes. That's why we can make these most grand statements, to the pure all is pure. Because if our attitude about life is pure, if we expect purity wherever we go, then purity is there. If we expect joy wherever we go, then joy is there. I remember the illustration so definitely the other day when we were in a restaurant. We were late leaving the restaurant, and we were just about the last group of people who were leaving it. And the clerk was sitting there at the cash register, and we smiled at her with a beaming, joyous smile because we were happy. And as we did that, she looked up from her figures on her desk, and she couldn't help but give us a smile back. She said, "What a wonderful way to end my day," with a joyous smile from happy people. And just then, several of the busboys walked up because they were checking out, and they saw us smiling, and they saw her smiling, and they said some beautiful, flippant, youthful statement like, "What you doing tonight, baby?" or something like that. And this woman, who had been sitting, just finishing up, feeling dead tired, feeling like there wasn't another thing in the whole world that she'd rather do except go home and climb into bed and go to sleep, all of a sudden was filled with life and energy, and she stood up and she smiled and she said, "I'm about ready to check out. I'm about ready to go home." Her whole world changed in an instant because of what she accepted in her world. She accepted an attitude of happiness. There are people, though, you come up to them and you give them a smile and joy, and they say, "What have you got to be so happy about?" Well, stop and think. What did you do to draw that response into your world? What did you do to draw that response into your experience? Because surely you did bring it into your experience. Because if in your own consciousness you were not sincere, if you were not pure of mind in giving out love, in giving out happiness, if you had ulterior motives, these are suspected and known and responded to more quickly than we shall ever realize. They say little children know what really goes on in your heart. And this is true. You can't hide something from a child. If your heart is breaking and you're smiling and you're happy in appearance way, the child understands and says, "What's the matter, Mommy? What's the matter?" For they know. And that shell is so thin between your happiness and your hurt that you break down and cry, and you tell them. And then they say, "That's all right, Mommy. I love you. I think that everything is going to be just all right." Now, where is this inner something coming from that's saying this out of their heart? Where are they getting this intuitiveness, this realization of what is all going on in this world? They're getting it out of their pure heart. They're getting it out of the depth of their very soul, which is pure love, unjaded by the world appearances that go on around them, which might say to them, "Tain't so," but they know that it is so. They will not allow the world of appearances to in any way jeopardize the purity of their being, the sincerity of their world. The child is pure. We need that same purity. "Let the little ones come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven." These are the words that Jesus used many centuries ago, and they're quite interesting. But what do they mean to us today? We don't have a Jesus sitting there by the Sea of Galilee saying, "Let the little children come unto me." We don't have a great guru sitting at our doorstep asking that the children come unto him. There must be some significance to these words that go beyond the appearance. They go beyond the outer expression, "Let these little ones come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven." Well, we might go back into our understanding. Yes, the child is pure. The child in us, who is unblemished by the world about him, is pure. Let the little ones come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Where is this kingdom of heaven? The kingdom of heaven is within each man, we are told. Well, if this heaven is within each one of us, and the makeup of this heaven is purity, is the naivete of a little child, is that which is beautiful, then perhaps we really are pure. For within our very being, within our very constitution itself, is all the purity, all the beingness, and all the magnificence the world has ever known, ever will know, could ever be, right now, within you and within me, right at the very heart of our being. Now many people say, sure, it's right at the heart of our being, but how do you get there? I go into that still small voice and listen within me, and sometimes it ain't talking. I go into the silence, and all I hear is the thunderous ideas that I've been hearing all day long. I go into the realization that I am God, God I am, because God is everywhere and I am somewhere. And wherever God is, all of it is there, and I am somewhere. But yet, how do I let God be me? Well, there again, we come back to a matter of the choice. In a worldly attitude, there is no place for the pure and innocent. In the worldly attitude of hustle, bustle, concern, of trying to make a buck, of trying to make a living and meet our needs, there doesn't seem to be a place for purity and innocence. Such a world, as we purify our attitude, the worldly attitudes fade. Now we look at the pictures of little children in foreign countries, and sometimes right here in our own country, and we see these little children as being in great need, starving urchins. And our heart goes out to them. And we say that if these little children are pure and draw only good to them, then why are they drawing that experience to them? Why are they drawing that world unto them? Well, they're drawing that world unto them in what we will discuss in another tape, reincarnation. They're drawing that world unto them by what they have chosen. And that world does not need to remain with them. That world does not need to remain a miserable experience for them. For as they change their attitude, they draw a new world unto them. We know of many little children who are brought up in poverty situations, who have climbed out of this poverty situation because they could see a purity, a glimmer of love and abundance, and they climbed into it. They rose into it and accepted it for themselves, and today they are enjoying it. But if they had maintained the worldly attitude that there was no place for purity and innocence, if they had become hardened, if they had become crass and gross, and all that those words imply, then this trip around, this life experience, truly, they may never have known the purity that they are. They may never know the reality of the divine that is within them this trip around. But that doesn't mean it's a forever thing. It merely means that as we purify our attitudes, the worldly attitudes fade away. As we look for flaws, we see them and develop them. But as we look for purity, we see purity and find it and enjoy it, and purity becomes our way of life. Again, to the pure, all is pure. You know, there are many people who can eat all sorts of foods. They can eat foods that are pretty rough on the tummy. They can eat very hot foods. They can eat foods that would be enough to eat out the bottom of a cast iron tub. But their bodies are conditioned to it. They have conditioned themselves to doing this sort of thing. And yet another person who has not so conditioned himself would almost be completely destroyed by eating some of those foods, would almost be completely destroyed by taking into their system those hot foods, those contrary-wise foods to the ability of their digestive system to work on it adequately. And yet, with gusto and with enthusiasm, some of these foods are eaten. Now, the stomach is not blessed by their presence, for the stomach has to work very significantly to overcome them and digest them and release them. Now, why is it that we give our stomach such a royal battle with some of the foods that we put into them? Why is it that we put such hot foods into our tummy and say it's good for them, it destroys the bacterium? Why is it that we put certain things into our stomach which are incongruous with a natural digestive action in our being? We do it because we're careless. We do it because we do not realize the effort that our body must do to work on those things that are given it. We do it out of thoughtlessness because we think it tastes so good going down, or whatever other reason we do. And when we do it, we are merely creating inner strife and conflict for our physical being. Now, this same condition is very true in our mental being. For in our minds, we allow ourselves to listen to tales told by others about others which are impure. Oh, a dirty story is so funny. Yes, well, that's fine. Oh, a risque story is so, you know, wonderful. Well, that's fine. But all these things turn our attention away from the real. Could you imagine for one second how a lovely flower would look if someone dropped a drop of ink on its petal? Can you imagine how a lovely flower, a rose, with its petals outstretched, all gorgeous and beautiful at its maximum bloom, and someone were to take a match and burn a hole through one of its leaves, one of its petals, it would be impure. It would be maimed. Well, this is what we do with our physical bodies when we eat foods that are really not properly digestible in our being. This is what we do with our mental body when we take ideas into our consciousness which are untrue of our real self. And this is what we do with our spiritual reality when we cease to be aware, because it is a ceasing to be aware, we always did know that we are God. When we return again, no longer looking for flaws in the world about us, but looking for purity, we will find it. To the pure, all is pure, means that each of us may fully experience purity right now. Each of us may fully experience the joy of total abundance right now. For that is a form of purity, to be sure. Each of us may enjoy a totally magnificent body right now. For that is purity. A perfect, pure body. A body that has within it only pure cells. A body that has within it a magnificent circulation system. A magnificent assimilation system, a magnificent elimination system. How fantastic! But this is a purity. This is a purity. To the pure, all is pure. To the pure, all is pure means that each of us may fully experience purity. It is always a matter of choice, however. For what do we choose to experience? If we choose to experience beauty and harmony and goodness, then our attention will be drawn to beauty and harmony and goodness, and we will not direct our mind or our thought to that which is unlike beauty, harmony, and goodness. It's a matter of choice. We choose. We determine what we're going to put into our bodies, what we're going to put into our minds. But more than that, we choose what we are going to accept out of the universal as our rightful heritage, as perfect gods. We're the creator of our world. We're the creator of everything and every being that is in our existence. But it's a matter of our choice what we are going to create. It's always a matter of discipline. But we can say an incorrect thing about ourselves often enough and long enough, they say, and pretty soon we believe it. But we can say the truth about ourselves, discipline ourselves, that whenever a thought comes into our consciousness, if it is not the truth, we reject it and claim the truth immediately. It's not a matter, it's not enough to just reject something, but you must claim the truth. We must claim the truth. I must claim the truth. All of us must claim the truth about ourselves. We cannot leave a void, for nature surely does abhor a void. We must claim the truth about ourselves. And when we do that, then all that which was false, or all that which was not to our highest good, fades away. And with the discipline of our own awareness and our own being and our own reality, then that which we are, the pure self that we truly are, manifests marvelously, perfectly, and fantastically. It's always a matter of choice. It's always a matter of discipline. It's always a matter of priorities. Oh, there's an interesting word, isn't it? priorities. What comes first? What's more important for us to do? Priorities. You know, I've often asked people who want things in life what it is that they want. What do you really want? If you had your total choice of anything that you wanted in the whole world, and it could be given to you just by naming it, what would you want? What would you like to experience? And you know, most people cannot tell you. Most people cannot tell you what they really want. Oh my goodness, oh my goodness. How would I think about that? I don't want three wishes because then I want more. I don't want all the money in the world because that wouldn't do it. I don't want necessarily happiness. I want my wife or husband to love me. I want my children to respect me. What do I want? What do I want? What do I want? Well, when you get right down to it, what comes back to you is that you want to be pure. That you want to be your God self, the creative cause of the entire universe, which you are and which we always will be. And as we do that, then we experience it. Then we experience that which we are. But what are our priorities? If we're going to have a little fun first, if we're going to go out and have a good time first, whatever that good time may be. If I want to see the world first before I settle down, or if, like in the Hindu nation, the first 20 years are dedicated to education, the next 20 years to raising a family, and the next 20 years, or however many more are left, are dedicated to going out and revealing the spiritual reality that you are. Revealing the spiritual purity that's within you. Revealing the spiritual allness that you are. What are our priorities? The pure in heart know the indwelling God and live in that total awareness. The pure in heart are those who recognize who they are. Our priorities might well be established on that which is vital and important to us. Each of us has a talent, many talents to be sure, but we have a talent for being. And that talent for being is just spectacular, it's just magnificent, it's just really wonderful. But that talent for being has the opportunity of expressing itself in some magnificent way. Now, what is that magnificent way in you or me? What is that magnificent way that takes our total attention, that takes our priorities, that sort of clouds anything else out and allows only itself to come in? Well, each of us must come to the decision for ourselves what that priority is. But you can be sure of one thing. That priority is a pure priority. That priority is a realization of the truth about ourselves. And as we know the truth about ourselves, then we begin to live in awareness of it. And the truth about ourself is that everyone is God. Everyone is pure. Everyone is whole. Everyone is magnificent. Everyone is all that they are or ever will be right now. Everyone may choose to know that purity if they really desire to do so. But to know that purity, that you are God, and that God is perfect, and that you are the allness of God, and that we experience that allness of God right now. Everyone may choose that. Everyone may choose to know that purity. But the decision is a matter of ours. It's a matter of our choice. One that we discipline ourselves to following, whatever the priority may be. We can look at the world about us, and we can see race car drivers, and we can see artists, we can see financiers, we can see housewives, we can see parents, we can see children. Thousands upon thousands of things we can see. But think about it. Here is a man who dedicated his life to being a most fabulous parent. And he was truly the most fabulous parent. Here is a woman who dedicated her life to being the most marvelous patriot the country has ever known. She learned the art and craft of being a political scientist, a statesman, a diplomat, and she was the greatest that the world had ever known. Whatever is our priority, whatever is our aim, we may become great, but in that greatness, are we becoming great as pure beings, or are we becoming great as impure beings? What is it that is our priority? For we can look at many wonderful people, and we can see their lives, and we can know exactly what they chose as their priorities, and they obtained it. But along with their priority, they did not feel any remiss. They did not feel any compunction upon stepping upon another's toes. They did not feel anything wrong with climbing over others to achieve success for themselves. And as they did this, as they say of smoking, you know, put another nail in your coffin. Well, as they did this, they put another bit of unhappiness into their life. And when the final experiences were taking place in their life, they could not be saved by drugs or medicine or anything else, because they had chosen not to look at the pure. Oh, it's true, they became greatly wealthy, high political mucky-mucks, competent in their field of business, in the world of economics, excellent speakers, most remarkable people. But when the last was known, because they did not choose to be totally pure in all their ways, they suffered the arrows and the unhappy things of misfortune, and in so doing, the very gift of joy, which could have been theirs and is always ours, was not. It is an irrevocable condition once put into motion. When purity is put into motion, it just flows. As we begin to think of words expressing purity, we give them power. Amazingly, there are few in the dictionary, but all we need are a few. For though some have chosen not to look at purity and climb to their success and find it to be empty, you and I, we can look to our success and find it filled with all that is good, because we have made it pure. Because we have determined it pure, because we have claimed it pure, and pure it is. As we said, it is an irrevocable condition once purity is put into motion. It just flows. As we begin to think of words expressing purity, we give them power. Amazingly, there are a few in the dictionary, but all we need are a few. Concentrate on purity, and purity will condense on us. As every word we speak, every thought we think, every action we take expresses purity, then all that we are will be purity. All that we ever could be will outpicture purity in our life. And the total purity that we are will always be expressed in our world and in our circumstances. And really, how great it is. To the pure, all is pure. This is my recognition for you today. I bless you.